Does your garden need a hand? Your lawn need some help? Those plants looking rough? Call in your question. 1-888-767-4348. When you hear the auto attendant, press 1. 1-888-ROSIE for you.
And we've got a few calls that have lined up. Before we get to them, I wanted to make one final point about the lawn transition, Bermuda to rye. Mm-hmm. If you are planning on doing that, or if you don't have a Bermuda, when is, because I want a nice green lawn by Thanksgiving.
Okay.
When do I have to get that in?
Well, you know, the balancing act is always waiting long enough that the Bermuda starts to really slow down and wants to go dormant, and then timing it so it doesn't get so cold that your ryegrasses are slow to germinate. I think by Thanksgiving, if you did it third week of October, October 15th has always been, you know, kind of quote-unquote the magic day, I think. You know, golf courses, some of them have to start early. It's economics. It's, you know, there's a lot of things that go into play there. But when we start scalping those Bermuda grasses too early and they're still storing up those carbohydrates for the wintertime, and we cut off all the leaf material and then we plant a competitor on top of it, then we wonder why our Bermuda grasses don't come back next spring very good, or some of it's all dead. It just doesn't come back at all. And I think that's happened now. The trend has been to start doing it later than earlier now. There was a time 15, 20 years ago when, you know, some golf courses and resorts were scalping right after Labor Day. They've kind of backed off. Most of them are putting it off as late as they can and into October. And I think for a homeowner, the last half of October would be good. If you want that lawn to be, you know, if you want to have Thanksgiving dinner out on the lawn and have people walking on it and traffic on it, you want to have mowed that ryegrass a couple of times. So I think you're very safe if you can do it, you know, by Halloween, probably at the latest. Last 2 weeks of I used to try and get mine in so, because it's trick-or-treaters are going to walk across the front lawn at Halloween, so it was at least mowed once or twice. So 15th October to Halloween, that window.
Now, I took your advice, and I didn't do a Bermuda lawn in the back. Yeah, we're never back there.
Right.
And in the summertime, we kept the front one because that's where we are a lot of times. But we'll spend a lot of time in the back playing football in the nicer weather.
Yeah.
And the goats, I put it in there to keep the weeds down. And it's a flat dirt.
Yep.
Will this rye germinate on that, or do I need to put a mulching cover on top of that?
Cover that if it's just plain dirt. And that you could do any time, so you're not worried about, obviously, the Bermuda grass.
So we could do that one earlier.
We could do that one right now.
As long as it's covered. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't say that. I've already got other plans for the weekend.
Got it. I don't want to hear. Understand. I didn't say that.
That didn't go on the air.
It'd be better. You probably can't find the ryegrass yet.
There you go.
Not available yet.
Gary and Glendale's next on the line. Welcome to the broadcast. How may we help you? Gary?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I was told a long time ago that coffee grounds are wonderful to put in your vegetable garden. So I got a bunch of them, and I don't know how to use it, and what pH would I want to get, and thoroughly confused.
Well, the pH thing with coffee grounds is insignificant. You're not going to change the pH of the soil here by adding some coffee grounds, because it has a little bit of acid in it from the coffee. It's great organic material, and have at it. I mean, use it just like compost, like you'd work any composted material into your soil. It's wonderful. No reason not to use it. But I don't know how many tons of coffee grounds it would take to affect the pH of the soil here, and it would be temporary anyway.
Would the caffeine affect the growth of it? Like,
you'd have very jittery plants. If you wanted to grow quaking aspens, then you use coffee grounds. So, yeah, have at it, but use it for organic material. Put it in your compost pile, whatever you want to do. But if you get, if you think you need to buffer the soils, you know, and use gypsum, soil sulfur, things like that, that's what's going to help you.
We appreciate the call. Next is Nicole at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Nicole, welcome.
Hi. I moved to Arizona about a year ago and tried to do a balcony garden, and it was unsuccessful. And so I was calling to see about getting into a fall garden and maybe the best way to go about that.
You said a balcony garden. You have a balcony that you're trying to grow things out on. Is that what it is?
Yes, I have no yard. I have a condo.
Okay. And are these planters just sitting on your balcony? Are they hanging on the railing of the balcony? What do you have for the containers?
The containers are about a foot off the ground.
Okay.
And they're just wood containers.
Wood containers. And how big are they?
There's three of them, and they're like 1 foot by 1 foot.
Okay. And what exposure, what direction does your balcony face?
South.
Okay. So it gets pretty hot in the summer on your balcony.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I would probably do for the summertime is just relax, forget about it, and just grow stuff that'll, you know, from here on out through the winter months. Good potting soil, keep it well fertilized. You can do, you know, almost anything. A foot by a foot is not very big in the summer to try and keep wet. That soil is going to dry out really fast. Now, if you can tuck them up against the walls of the building and get them out of the direct exposure, maybe that would help you. But pots in the summertime here, containers in the summertime here, can be a bit of a challenge in any exposure. So I would probably concentrate on growing things, you know, from mid to late September till about May. And you can do just about anything you want. You know, my mom and dad grow all of their whole vegetable garden is nothing but containers. Now, they have quite large containers, but it's all onions and beets and turnips and, you know, spinach and just tomatoes and peppers in the springtime. So you can do anything in a container that you can do in the ground. I think you got two things you're fighting, that for summertime, that southern exposure, and you might want to consider getting containers that are just a bit larger so that they won't dry out and get quite so hot.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but what about like a window garden? And the one that I remember seeing, it was a project. They were trying to, you know, do some recycling gardening challenge that some organization put together. It's been almost 10 years, but they ultimately, you picture like a plastic Coke bottle,
mm-hmm.
and they cut the bottom off of it and turned it upside down. So where mm-hmm. you would drink out of is the drip hole at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And they put like six of them on one on top of each other and watered on the top and hung it mm-hmm. on the window on the inside. Could she grow it on the inside against a window facing south and get enough light that she could have something in interior?
Perhaps. I mean, it'd be worth monkey. Certainly could probably grow some herbs, you know, basil and things like that. You know, it's just one of those things you play around with. And there is a local gentleman here, Alex Billingsley, that Flower Street Urban Garden, that makes those really nice. You can hang them on a railing or mount them to a wall or stack them. They're wooden. And they're big enough that you can grow some meaningful stuff in them that do a great job with vegetables. And they have the same kind of concept. You water through the top, and he's got it designed if you put layers of them where the water then runs through the bottom of the first one, waters the second one, and then goes on down and waters the bottom one. So that concept certainly would more than likely work. You just have to play around with what would grow in it. You know, a pop bottle's not very big. So, you know, it might have to be something, you know, like a basil or some parsley or something like that.
flowerstreeturbangardens.com. Those are really neat designs, and they look beautiful.
Yeah, and they're using them in a lot of places these days, and they're pretty versatile. You can put them on posts, you can put them on a fence, you can put them a lot of different ways. But he's got a system down pretty good where it's, you know, it's pretty well figured out.
And I'm generally not a fan of things that are made out of wood. They deteriorate after a few years. And what I like about his is he builds the steel metal frame. So after a couple of years, if one of your planks wears out, just slide it out and slide right in a new one. And you've got your steel frame that'll be there for 100 years.
Yep. And there is some plastic lining on the inside of them. So they hold up pretty darn well.
There's a couple options for you, Nicole. Good luck with your, what would we call it, a patio garden?
Yeah, balcony garden, patio garden. You know, I mean, the biggest thing we fight here with things is just the heat. And it'd be just no different than if you were living in New York City trying to grow a balcony garden in the wintertime there. Probably wouldn't work. So, pick your battles.
A couple text questions have come in. One individual was wanting to know, is there a certain type of rye you like or brand? Is one particularly better than the other?
Most all good winter rye grasses are blends anymore. And so just make sure you're using a perennial blend. I would not advocate using a single variety, and I would not advocate using something that is not stated. So when you look at, there's got to be a tag, a certified tag on that package of seed, and it will list probably three varieties of perennial ryegrasses. So just make sure that that's what it says on there. Don't use annual ryegrass. That's a pasture. That'd be what we would use in a pasture setting for a winter pasture. So just a good blend of perennial ryegrasses.
And I understand they all come from Oregon, one way
pretty
or the
much.
Other.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And you know, the pros can tell you, well, and I shouldn't even say I don't remember the varieties anymore, but there's a million of them out there, and they do trials, and they'll do a field, and there'll be a row of this variety and a row of that. And so what they try and do is they try and blend three of them together, one that maybe has better color, one that maybe is more drought tolerant, and one that maybe is more disease resistant. So if something is a miss, at least you've got one of those that will kind of, proliferate under adverse conditions one way or the other. So unless they're growing right next to each other,
you can't really tell.
You can't tell the difference.